want to thank the Lord again for this opportunity to meet together, even though it is in this method. I want to say that I love the Lord, that I love His Word, and I love His way. We want to continue with the thoughts of martyrdom this afternoon or this evening. And we're going to begin again with the scripture in Revelations, which says, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. There's no way that we could cover all of the stories that's been recorded. Brother Dan mentioned the Fox's Book of Martyrs and the very subject is much bigger than what we could ever really present. And yet it is a part of the church history. And I believe that the Lord is wanting us to consider the past and consider the purpose. This scripture says that they were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. It was very important when those that confessed and professed and accepted Christ during the time of the martyrs, they knew they were facing torture or death. Most of the time was death. It wasn't like that they had years to contemplate about it, or they didn't have a long time after they made the decision. Oftentimes it was fairly swift, and they were brought to judgment or trial or accusation or persecution. It was fairly quickly. But nonetheless, it was, these were those that were souls that were under the altar, and they were slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony that they held. Brother Dan mentioned the 11th chapter of Hebrews, which I was wanting to speak on tonight. Not necessarily the ones that are called the heroes of faith. We want to refer to it in another time. But we want to move down to the 32nd verse through 39. And the scripture here says, and what shall I say more? For the time shall fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and Samson and Jephthah, of David also and Samuel, and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. We want to stop right there just a little bit. This particular phrase has been on my heart while I have been sick, and I believe that there's a message for us concerning this, and it certainly was a message of that day. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. We spoke of Christ this morning, how that he could have been delivered. He could have called for 80,000 angels and he would not have had to have suffered it. But he won his victory over his flesh when he was going before the Father, asking for the cup to be removed. And he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." He submitted to the suffering and to his death. And those that accepted Christ in this time in church history, during the time of the martyrs, they did the same thing. They laid down their lives. No man took it. They chose. Christ chose. He said, "I lay down my life. No man takes it from me." There was a choice that was made when these that were martyred for Christ, and they stood by that choice. They did not recant. And let's go on reading now. And it says that others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. We spoke this morning also of how the martyrs had a vision. They were completely convinced that there was a reward for the righteous, that there was eternal life waiting for them. I remember hearing a story while I've been studying this, and there were, I think, 5 Christians that were being, they were going to be put into the arena to be attacked. And the night before, 2 of them had wonderful dreams. One of them awakened and told her dream. Another one woke up and told her his dream. Both of them were the same. They saw in their dreams that they were slain, but the angels of the Lord came down and lifted them and carried them away to a glorious heaven. They were encouraged. They encouraged one another with these thoughts. So they knew of a better resurrection. They were convinced. And it says, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, and they were sawn asunder, and they were tempted, and they were slain with the sword, and they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Verse 38 says, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided something better, a better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Well, it was nothing new even in the time of this writing that there were people that sacrificed their lives for the sake of the gospel. So we want to consider the scripture that Jesus also said, and we may have quoted it this morning, Matthew 10:28. Jesus said, "Fear not them that can kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul." Well, I don't hardly see us being in the time of the martyrs. I believe that God has that as an understanding, that we have the same mind as the martyrs. We have the same convictions as those that were slain and under the altar for the word of God and for the testimony they held. But I think that we need to consider that we will be tested and tried. I want to go on now. And I want to talk just a little bit about the early church and the threat of death if they believed in Christ and if they publicly professed it. About the time of the third century, there were emperors that compelled all of the people to make sacrificial favors unto their gods. Now, there is a scripture that applies not only to this time of church history, but it applies to our time. And it says that there are many gods. I'm just paraphrasing. Many lords and many gods. There are many gods in this world that are not the true God. There are idols. There are people that were lifted up as God, but they died. I want to say this. We can be martyred for many different causes. We can lose our life because we're not willing to recant on some kind of a conviction that we have. There was a man that had a philosophy of this time, and he would not recant. He would not give it up. He did not have even the assurance that there was life after death. He only had a hope for it. But he gave his life for something that was not going to last eternally. So there are people in the world today, there are countries that we still have martyrs. We still have persecution in certain countries with certain religions. But if their sacrifice is not for Christ and Christ alone, it is in vain. So we need to consider and pray for those that are giving their lives for worthless things and not for eternal things. So at this time, we're thinking also about in the Old Testament of the three Hebrew children. Nebuchadnezzar, didn't he require that all of the people bow down and worship the image, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused. They had the mind of a martyr, and they stood true. And I want to read just what they said. It's so important that we hear these things, be reminded that we have this mindset. We are not careful in this matter. If it be so, our God is able to deliver us. But if not, be it known, we will not serve thy God. We need the mind of the martyrs. We need to be convinced, and we need to be convicted. It's the most wonderful account, and often we use it to encourage ourselves when we're going through fiery trials. But they were cast into the fiery furnace, and there was a fourth man in the fire. These three men did not become martyrs, but they became examples. And even the king looked in there and he said that he recognized the fourth man as the Son of God. Whatever you and I will pass through in our lives, we can have that fourth person with us in the fire. Thank the Lord. We know the account. These three men came out, did not have the smell of smoke. They were not burned. God is a very powerful God and can do with you and me as he wishes. We think of Daniel. He had the mind of a martyr. He was not willing to hide and do his praying. He continued to pray as he always did in the past, three times a day. And he was cast into the lion's den. And an angel came and shut the lion's mouths. I remember reading another story about the martyrs that were put into the arena. And this one was supposed to be, the animal was a big bear. And this particular brother, he looked and before he was put in the arena, he said God told him the bear would not kill him. So they opened the gate for the bear. And the bear stood there and only looked out and turned and walked away. He was not killed by the bear. His life was taken. But God can control these things if he so chooses. Thank the Lord. I thought that was a wonderful testimony. As we think about the martyrs and how that the book of martyrs gives such despicable things that happened, I'm thinking of the spectators of this time sitting in the arena observing the horrible things that took place. We would have to call them bloodthirsty. They were taking pleasure in the Christians losing their lives. They were cheering. But on the other hand, there were others that were encouraging the martyrs. Don't give up. Hold out. It's just for a little while. There is one story of a man, father, and can't remember now exactly why they took him to burn at the stake. But his wife and his children stood by and encouraged him. Don't give up. It's just a little while and you'll be with Jesus. I'm thinking of the things that you and I sometimes face. And as we continue with this thought, maybe in other messages, I expressed this morning how that when the Lord started talking to my heart and I looked at myself and I said, oh God, how can I stand with the martyrs in eternity? And the Lord began to show me we can. But I'm thinking of how that he uses our brothers and our sisters in the Lord to encourage us, to speak words of comfort when we're in a trial, how that they will minister to us. God uses our brothers and our sisters to encourage and to lift up. Thank the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord wants to be in each one of us that we may be able to hold up the hands of those that are in the battle. I'm thinking of when I read it happened from in the second century, And it was written at that time, and I'm going to read what I read. It said, kill us, torture us, condemn us, grind us to dust. The oftener we are mowed down by you, the more in number we grow. This produced the quote then that said, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. It became, I want to say, common, fairly common, because it even eventually lessened the tortures and the martyrdom, because they didn't want to cause other people to be converted. But the martyrs were willingly giving their lives, and that led to the conversion of other people. There was an account, and it was called 40 Soldiers for Christ. And I want to read what I found online concerning this particular event. These were Roman soldiers. They were faithful soldiers. They were faithful to their leader. They served in a capacity that was honorable. But these 40 soldiers were Christians. And when it was determined that they were Christians, it was purposed to eliminate Christianity from even the soldiers. So it was given them a choice. Among these 40 devout Christians, they were given some time. They took them and put them in jail, and they would either renounce their faith and bow down to the pagan gods and they were to sacrifice to the gods and earn great honors, or in the event of your disobedience, you're stripped of your military rank and fall into disgrace. That was the first threat. Well, the soldiers were in prison, and they were praying and strengthening each other with singing and with reading and praying. At midnight, they were filled with a holy fear upon hearing the voice of the Lord. And the voice of the Lord said to these soldiers, good is the beginning of your resolve, but he who endures to the end will be saved. That came from a scripture in Matthew 10 and 22. Well, the next morning they were summoned, and the soldiers remained unmoved. And they again were thrown into prison for a week. And during this time, they prepared themselves for the trial of martyrdom. One of them exhorted his fellow soldiers, God so ordained that we made friends with each other in this temporal life. Let us try not to separate even in eternity. Just as we have found pleasing the mortal king, so let us strive to be worthy of the favor of the immortal king, Christ our Lord. He reminded his comrades how God had graciously helped them in battle. And they were again singing and in comforting one another. And the soldiers marched to the interrogation singing a psalm that said, O God, in thy name, save us. and as they always did when they marched to the battlefield. So they had a second time that the Lord spoke to them. And he said, this time, he who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Be bold and have no fear of short-lived torment, which soon passes. Endure that you may receive crowns. The next day, the soldiers were taken out, stripped of their clothing, placed on a frozen lake, and were intended to be killed or martyred with freezing to death. They were offered an escape from their martyrdom. They had a house that had a warm place for them to go to if they would recant. And it was a great temptation to one. There was one soldier that turned and fled, but fell down dead before he entered the warm building. The guard that was there was watching all of this, and he saw the rest of the soldiers praying and crying out earnestly unto God, saying, "Help us, O God, our Savior. For we stand in the water and our feet are stained with our blood. Ease the burden of our oppression." And this particular guard laid down all of his clothing and ran and took the place of the one that had recanted. There were still 40 soldiers for Christ. So this was it produced another one. I'm trying to point out the blood of the martyrs had others that became Christians because of it. I wanted to bring that particular little story out. And as I was also thinking of the Word of God, and each one of you have a Bible right now. Maybe you have it open in front of you. Don't you know that there was blood shed, lives given, that you and I could have a Bible? That there is even a Bible in existence today? It's a wonderful thing that there were martyrs that gave their life for the Word of God. I'm going to tell you the story of William Tyndale. He was the first one that stood against the Catholic Church and the Pope. He even said in one place, one of the great doctors had these words, "We were better to be without God's laws than the Pope's laws." But Tyndale, hearing this, he replied, "I defy the Pope and all of his laws." And then he added, because he wanted to translate the Bible from Latin into the common man's language, he wanted the common man to be able to have a Bible, to be able to read the Word of God and to be able to understand it. He was a man that was well educated in different languages, and he had a zeal for the Word of God and for the Scriptures, because he was able to take the book of Latin, written in Latin, and he was able to translate it for himself. While he was also studying the Scriptures, and he would privately read to some of the students and explain the Scriptures to them. And as time went on, he wanted to translate the Bible. And there was such great opposition Not only did the Catholic popery and priest come against him, but even the King of England at that time. He ran for his life. He took the works with him. And no one knew where he was. But they decided that they were going to send out men searching through different places, continents, countries, until they found him. During that time, he was able to translate the Old and the New Testament. A friend betrayed him, took him back to be tried, and he was condemned to death. And I want to tell you what he said. First of all, his purpose was that when he defied the Pope, he said that if God spared his life, this was earlier on, he would cause a boy that driveth a plow to know more of the scripture than he did. He wanted the lowly boy driving a plow to understand the word of God. Well, he was martyred. He was at the stake. I won't describe his death, but I'm going to give you his last words. As he was being slain, he cried with a loud voice, and he said, "O God, open the eyes of the king." And he said it twice and died. 2 years later, it happened. And you and I have the King James Version. We have a Bible. The king turned against the Catholic Church. He wanted the Church of England to be the main church. And therefore, he had the authority. And the Bible became open to mankind. And so when you look at your Bible, when you read your Bible, thank God for the man that translated it. Thank God for the one that gave his life, that you and I could have access to the Word of God. I'm thinking about a little story that Brother Ivan told in his message at Monarch. I personally had not heard it until then. But he was on a flight. He got on the plane, and he said that he was tired and he didn't want to talk to anybody. He wanted to turn his face to the window and sleep. And this man was coming to sit down beside him, had a large coat, wanted to put it above, and handed him his drink and asked him to hold it while he took care of his coat. And it turned out that that man had been a Russian soldier, an atheist, did not believe in God. God got a hold of him. He came to the United States to what we call the Bible Belt. And he said to Ivan, he said he's disappointed because he could go to Walmart and see all of these Bibles and hardly anybody really interested in the Bible. But this man found salvation, and the two of them talked for 2 hours. The plane never left the ground. The weather was too bad. But as they disembarked and was in the terminal, they were hugging, calling each other brother, and crying. God knows how to preserve his people, doesn't he? Thank the Lord. So in closing, we have a few scriptures that's familiar to us. Dan read this first one, Hebrews 12 and 1. And I think this is just a part of our burden is that we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. There are those in history that gave their life, preserved the truth, was willing to preserve the very gospel at the cost of their life. And it came down to you and me. We are such a privileged people. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And then it has something that says to us today, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. I said this morning that the martyrs had to have a vision. And you and I have got to have a vision also. We've got to keep our vision clear. We've got to have this vision of a joy that is set before us. Whatever God allows to come into our life, that be the same, that we endure the cross. Thank the Lord. Then in Revelations, the third chapter and verse 11, I'm sorry, I'm not in Revelations. Revelations 3 and verse 11, it says, well, I'm going to read verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. I believe that God did that for the martyrs, for those that gave their life. I believe he's doing it for us today, that we must keep the word of his patience so that he will keep us in the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all of the world to try them that dwell on the earth. I said this morning that God is going to have a tested and a tried people. The martyrs did not slide into heaven. They paid with their blood. You and I are not going to slide into heaven. We're not going to go to heaven on flowery beds of ease. We are going to have the mind of the martyr. And it says, behold, verse 11, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, and let no man take your crown. Don't let anything take your crown. Him that overcometh, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. And that scripture brought me then to Romans, the 8th chapter. And it's familiar. We could probably, all of us, even quote it. But I want to read it in our hearing. The 8th chapter, and we're going to read 35 through 39. And it says, who shall separate you? I use the word personal. First person, you, second person. Who shall separate you from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. You know, I mentioned this morning how that in my sickness, how that the enemy, well, I battled imaginations. And Sarah had to encourage me to cast down those imaginations. She reminded me what the Lord said. There is no grace for imaginations. When you and I read this right here, maybe our mind will go to what if? What would be the tribulation? What would be the distress or persecution? Or what would be the peril? Maybe our mind would begin to imagine what those things might would be in my life or your life. But the Lord says, cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. Well, maybe we're not physically killed, but we've had to make choices and decisions that we keep on the right path, that we have the mindset of the martyr. I'm not going to turn to the left or the right. I'm not going to recant. I'm not going to give up my convictions. And we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Don't you know every martyr, once it was over, were so glad they made it in? Don't you know that they, today, they're still rejoicing. They're still praising God for giving them the power to overcome their flesh, their humanity. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life. Oh, we might say, well, death is a horrible thing. It is. It's a hard thing. Life can be hard also. And the writer here says, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come that I don't know. We have a song that says, I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow. That's the mindset of the martyr. We must keep it fixed in our hearts and in our minds. We don't know about tomorrow. The scripture tells us we're not to even worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. Actually, that's what is true. Tomorrow never comes. If I worry about tomorrow, when tomorrow comes, that would be today. So things to come, be persuaded that it cannot change your conviction. And then it says, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So our message tonight is to encourage us that even though we can study and read about these that gave their life's blood to pass this wonderful gospel to our generation, gave their life that we might have the word of God, I could hold it in my hand. I don't have to worry about somebody coming in and arresting me because I'm reading my Bible. Somebody gave their life that I could have this great privilege. Thank the Lord. That's our little thought tonight. We trust that the Lord will let these things stick in our minds, that we will seek after the mind set of the martyr. that I will fight the good fight of faith, as Paul said. He was ready to be offered. And he wasn't afraid. Thank the Lord. That's our little message tonight.